We hear again a few of the verses from the appointed reading of 1 Peter 3. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. In the name of Jesus. Hell is not meant for you. Jesus created you for life. With his own blood, Jesus redeemed you. He baptized you for salvation. Baptism now saves you, says Peter, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. That's why Jesus went to the cross for you. That's why he baptized you, to give you a peaceful conscience, a conscience cleansed of sin, belonging not to death, but life. So hell is not for you. St. Peter, in his letter to the church, tells us what our Lord has done about hell. Hell, of course, is a spiritual place, literally spiritual, the place of the demons and those who have died outside the gospel. This place of the unclean spirits, we can hardly even conceive what it must be like. We end up needing to picture hell as a pit under the earth or a fiery furnace with people tied to pillars, images like that. The chief unclean spirit of hell, that is, of course, Lucifer, Satan. In his fall, Lucifer took many angels with him. We are now to know these unclean angels by the titles given to them in Scripture: demons, devils, unclean spirits. Then hell becomes also a place of the spirits of those people who died in rejection of the gospel, those who wanted to justify themselves by the law, do it on their own, without Christ's word of grace. The place of the fallen angels and of the spirits of people who died in rejection of the gospel, that's hell. No resurrection of the body, no eternal life with God the Father. What will our Lord do about hell? We sometimes talk about hell on earth, a fire, the Muslim attack on the Twin Towers, some grisly murder, hell on earth, someone will say. And maybe that's not too far from true. It's not hell, of course, not the hell, but it is the work of the devil, the sickness, the malice, the warfare, the lies. None of this belongs to creation as God created it. He created it, and he created us for life, for health and joy, for fellowship with him and with one another. The sickness and malice and hatred and lies, the brokenness, this belongs to the realm of death, the kingdom of the demons. We might rightly call it a bit of hell on earth. So we may consider this time that we're in. The virus, the threat to health, the pressure on doctors and nurses, citizens at the throat of each other. There's a way we can speak of this, certainly not as hell itself, but as a precursor to hell, a harbinger of life apart from God. So in the church, while we're still in this sinful world, we suffer. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the people God gathers to his name. We hear his word. We receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sin. We encourage each other and give comfort. So all this discomfort of social distancing, of smiles covered by masks, of no shaking of hands or hugs or slaps on the back, none of this should be natural to us at all. A pandemic like this, we haven't seen it in our lifetime, and it is not part of God's creation. We don't know how to handle it in a way that is best for each other. Yet in the midst of it all, in the midst of a society trying to protect itself from pandemic, of neighbors on edge and sometimes handling things not well, of governing authorities given office by God to protect citizens and sometimes carrying out the office well and other times incompetently. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of the church, a people Jesus gathers to his name, yet a people often confused about how to go about things, often frustrated, not as caring as they could be. In the midst of all, the church and society, a voice, the voice of Christ, risen from the dead. The Easter voice, right in the middle of the fear and confusion, the voice of the resurrection. It's the voice of Jesus we're given to hear. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, says Peter. He speaks his voice to forgive our sins and make us righteous. Christ also suffered that he might bring us to God, 1 Peter 3:18. He speaks his voice to call us out of fear, out of any sin of not caring for one another, and to bring us to his Father, binding us together as the people of Christ. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, says Peter, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, 1 Peter 3:19. That is, he who gave himself on the cross to make us righteous, before he was resurrected, went in spirit to the spirits in prison, says Peter. That is, Christ went to hell, but not to suffer. The suffering is the cross. His suffering and our suffering, all put together on the cross, so there is no more suffering for sin. He went to hell, but not to suffer. He went to hell to proclaim to the spirits of hell that he has forgiven the sin of all people, so they are no longer under any accusation from the demons. He went to proclaim that he has defeated death and the devil, to proclaim that those who belong to him do not belong to death. Hell is not for them. They belong to him, Christ, and he is their Lord. This Jesus who went to the cross to make us righteous with his own blood, the righteous for the unrighteous, says Peter, who went to hell to proclaim the sinner forgiven and victory over death and the demons, this Jesus has now gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him, 1 Peter 3:22. This Jesus is your Lord. Because he is our Lord, we do not belong to hell, not to death. Even in the midst of a world of sickness and confusion, we belong to life. You belong to the Lord of life. Even as we suffer while still living on earth, even suffering in our sinful flesh, we belong to our life of faith, to the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus, to the patience and kindness of the Lord of life. And we belong to life even as our eyes cannot see it, because Christ has baptized us into his name. Baptism now saves you, says Peter. Baptism saves you not because it removes any dirt from your skin, but because baptism is where Jesus unites you to his cross, unites you to his proclamation of victory over the demons of hell, unites you to his walk out of the tomb, so that his resurrection is now your resurrection. Baptism now saves you because your guilt is taken away in baptism, and it is your appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ, 1 Peter 3:21. You belong to the life of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen.